Well, good morning, Living Hope. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we will finish our three-part series, The Blood of Jesus. And if you would like a set, it's three CDs about the blood, but the first one was about the altar and how that's important. So, you know, just put your name or something on a piece of paper. And then give it to one of the guys in the sound booth, and they'll make sure that is together, you know, at least by next week or so, they'll do that. And if you're watching us through live stream and you would like a copy of that, just send us a note to info@livinghopenh.org, or if you're watching live stream right now, you could just put it in the sidebar, and one of the guys who's doing the cameras and all that stuff will write it down. He said, I will. Amen. So, part three and our final part. I believe that if we truly understand and utilize the power in the blood of Jesus, we can completely be set free from the chains that bind us and to destroy the altars of unrighteousness that are in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you for your revelation. For Lord, it is your revelation that brings transformation. Holy Spirit, transform us this morning with your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Again, let me just begin our service with Leviticus 17, verse 11. And it says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. As we've said over the last couple of weeks, that the greatest weapon we have as citizens of the kingdom of God is the power of the blood of Jesus the Messiah. The testimony of the blood of Jesus is one of the most powerful voices in the courts of heaven. So I would like to just recap for those of you who are new that are joining us what we've already discovered. Number one, when Jesus' sweat became droplets of blood and fell to the ground, the curse of Genesis 3:17 was broken off of the ground. This means the altar of toiling and sweating for everything in our life can be broken permanently in the name of Jesus. The second time his blood was shed was when they struck him in the face with fists and rods. And as I mentioned before, our face is our glory. It represents our self-image and self-worth. To be beaten on the face with fists and rods represents the spirit of slander. And slander is one of the most destructive forces that we can be levied at a person, especially their reputation, to paint them in a negative light. And Jesus was beaten in the face to restore our glory and destroy the spirit of slander. His bloodshed, the bloodshed from his face, was to uproot that altar of slander. The third time Jesus bled was when they pulled out his beard from his cheeks. And we talked about that the beard on one's face is their honor. And by pulling out the beard, it was shame. And so Jesus had his beard pulled out of his face to restore personal glory and to destroy the spirit of shame in our life. The fourth time that Jesus shed his blood was when they scourged his back and they whipped him. For it says, for by his stripes we are healed. And I want to reiterate this, that not only to our physical infirmities and our diseases, but especially to our spiritual infirmity. The fifth time that Jesus shed his blood was when they put the crown of thorns and pressed them into his scalp. The crown of thorns pressed into his scalp represents the spirit of poverty and powerlessness that's associated with being financially poor. And many are poor because of their thinking. Many of us are find ourselves poor in relationships, poor not only just in finances, poor in many areas because of our stinking thinking. The thinking of doom and gloom rather than that of glory. And those who are struggling with the voices, the negative thoughts that are in their head. He shed the blood on his head for that. This morning I'd like to talk about the next two times that Jesus actually shed his blood for us. The sixth time that Jesus Christ shed his blood was when they nailed his hands and his feet. Hands and feet both represent balance and productivity. Do you know that if you did not have your big toes, you wouldn't be able to walk? You wouldn't have balance. It's an amazing kind of thing that you would very much struggle with any form of balance without your toes, especially your big toe. In our hands are representative of being productive, things that we do with our hands. And so his hands and feet represent balance and productivity. And when Adam and Eve fell into sin, there was an immediate imbalance in a relationship. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was an imbalance in a relationship between God and them. So God and man, there was an imbalance. There was an imbalance between man and man. And we find that one right away with Cain and Abel. And then we find that there's an imbalance between man and the earth. There's an imbalance. Things aren't working right. Things aren't connected. And so the spiritual imbalance greatly affected man's productivity. And since God is the source of all of our unending productivity, we could kind of see right there that why things just don't gel, why things just don't seem to flow. It's always an issue, always a problem. And Jesus' crucifixion fixed that imbalance and restored man's spiritual equilibrium, if you will, and his God-given potential. We also know from Scripture that hands represent wealth or the work of our hands. We read that in many Scriptures. For example, in Psalms 90, verse 17, it says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our," what? "The work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Isn't it wonderful that when we choose to do something with our hands that honors God, that honors the kingdom, with the work of our hands? We have a choice where we can put our hands. We have a choice who we can work for and what we can do. But it says, "Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and establish the work of our hands." Also, feet in Scripture represent God-given destiny. God-given destiny. And in Psalms 37:23, it says, "The steps of man are established by the Lord. And when he delights in his way." In other words, God has a plan and a purpose. But he's also given us a choice whether we want to walk it out. He'll never force us. He'll never make you. You know, a lot of times people go, "Well, I just wish God would make me." Well, let me ask you a question. If he made you and you did it, does that demonstrate love? No, it demonstrates you had to. He made you. Not free choice. And so when the Bible says that the Lord will direct our paths, he's actually referring to the steps of destiny that we're supposed to take during our earthly journey. Right? It talks in Proverbs, you know, that, you know, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean like right now, he'll direct my path so I don't make a bad choice? Well, yes, it can mean that. But you know what? It also means that when we're walking righteously before the Lord, he directs our path for his purpose's sake, what we have been purposed for. You know, when I teach in school, every Friday is Ask the Professor Day. So you get to ask me any question that you want. Hopefully it's with the subject matter. I had to clarify that because one kid said, would you like math? I said, I absolutely love math. He goes, oh, well, I got a problem for you. And he put this geometry problem up. And I said, oh, that's a piece of cake. And I did it. And he said, thanks. That was my homework. So I got to be a little more careful about what questions I answer for kids. But you know, when we're asking the Lord to direct our paths, we're asking him not just for now, but for his purpose's sake. In other words, as we're walking, God has a plan for us. It says that when Jesus' hands and feet were pierced, he destroyed the spirit of unproductiveness and the spirit behind canceled destinies. Do you know that the Word of God said God knew you before you were even conceived? God knew you in the womb. God knew you. He knew all the things that he purposed in your life for you. The direction, the blessing you would be. But he also gave us free choice. And so when the Word says that he directs our paths, it's not that it's just like for right now and today. It was the destiny that he had created in our lives before we were born. And so when we acknowledge him and we break this curse of unproductivity, when we break this curse of canceled destinies, we can reset and recalibrate so that the purpose of God in our life will walk it out. So many times that the kids would ask me questions. I remember one of the questions the kids asked me, said, oh, I got a question for you, Mr. Baybrock. And I said, what's that? He goes, what is the meaning of life? And the kids were all like, he's not going to get that one. And I said, that's it? That's your question? That's so easy. I said, the meaning of life is to have a life with meaning. And you see, God has put that in our lives. God has put the meaning of your life into you. But if we don't acknowledge him, how do we know what it is? There are people that run all the time in circles, chasing things that when they finally get it, that wasn't it. Oh, if I get a new car, I'll feel awesome. Oh, if I get this, if I had a big house, if I had a motorcycle, I need a boat. That's what I need, a boat so I can do ministry. And then they don't come to church on Sundays because they're out on their boat. You see, the purpose of life that we're looking for is found in Christ Jesus. Because the purpose of our life, he had already put in us for our destiny. And when we acknowledge him, he will then direct your path. But if you're just going to run your own way, God just will. Goodbye, boys. Have a nice time. You know, I'll see you when you get back. Can I tell you this morning that God still has a purpose for your life? It doesn't matter if you've made mistakes. It doesn't matter. I say it over and over, and I don't know, do you believe this? But there's nothing you have ever done that could make God love you less. And there's nothing that you could ever do that could make God love you more. You see, God loves you, and it's unconditional. We're the only ones that put conditions on love. Well, if you do this for me and you do that for me, then I'll love you. If you say this and it, do you see what I'm saying? God doesn't do that. God says, I just love you. And you have a choice. Will you love him back? God still has a purpose for your life. I don't care if you were just born. I don't care if you're 94. God still has a purpose for your life. And it has nothing to do with what you've done. God has a purpose for your life. There is still a God-given reason for your life, even when you have gone astray. Why do we pray for Peter's son? Because he's beyond hope? No. Because he's unreachable by God? No. We're asking God to soften his heart to hear the voice of God. Because guess what? Peter's kids, they don't listen to dad. My kids don't always listen to me. Dad, you don't get it, man. Okay, I don't get it. But you know what? When you come back around that mountain, I'll be waiting for you. It doesn't matter if we've gone astray. It doesn't matter if we've made a mistake. God is the God of second chances. God is the God of third chances. God is the God of love. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The last and final time that Jesus shed his blood was when they pierced his side with a spear. On John 19:34, it says, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water." The Bible says that blood and water came out after the Roman soldier used the spear to pierce it into his side. So have you ever thought, what does that symbolize? Jesus speared, pierced the side, represents a broken heart. A heart in deep mourning. This is a heart that is saturated with grief. Some of you here this morning, both physically here and those that are watching through live stream, have gone through a very traumatic event, such as divorce, a sudden death of your child or a loved one, or you were sexually molested. And one of these things broke your heart. You may be a person who's walking through every day of your life oriented with unending grief. But I have good news for you. Jesus paid the price for you to be set free from a broken heart. Jesus will give you the oil of joy for the spirit of mourning. You know, as we found Jesus' blood was shed for all of our lives, and you know, we heard that saying over and over, that his blood was shed, his blood was shed, his blood was shed. And we hear it so much and we never got a deep understanding of what does that really mean and how does it mean for me? How do I apply it to my life? I hope that this morning and the last few mornings that we've been together have helped you to understand that. He shed his blood for all of our lives. For everything that we have been through. For everything that we are going through. And I will tell you, for all the trials and tribulations yet to come. His blood was shed for it all. So we must understand what was done and accomplished by the shedding of Jesus' blood and claim and utilize the power that it holds. Through his blood, we are victors, not victims. Through his blood, we can destroy the unrighteous altars in our lives. Through his blood, we're no longer captive to past situations or circumstances. Through his blood, we are set free to walk in liberty, to fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. You know, this morning, before we pray, I'd like to, because I believe it's just very appropriate, read to you the words of our worship song this morning. After the understanding that you now have of the blood, oh, the blood, crimson love, price of life's demand, shameful sin placed on him, the hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Savior, Son, Holy One, slain so I can live. Oh, see the Lamb, the great I am, who takes away my sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of the Lamb. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, what love, no greater love, grace, how can it be, that in my sin, yes, even then, he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. As we've come and we worshiped you in your word. Each drop of your blood was to serve a purpose to set us free. Though we didn't understand it at the time, revelation has made it clear. Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning for the revelation that brings the transformation in our lives. Holy Spirit, remind us of this teaching. The blood from his brow like sweat. The blood from his face. The blood from his beard. The blood from the crown of thorns. The blood from his back. The blood from his hands and feet. The blood from his pierced side. Holy Spirit, instruct us as to how and when to claim this in our own lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you that the blood of Jesus can cleanse and rescue us from the legal chains of idols and evil altars that were planted in our body, our bloodlines long before we were born. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood that was shed has rescued us. Your blood has cleansed us. Your blood has set us free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as we end this morning, I'm going to open up the altar. And then if you would like to pray in any one of these areas, specifically the blood, I will pray with you. And for those of you who are joining us through live stream, may God bless you and shalom.